welcome to the Conversations with Authors podcast. I'm your host, Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy, and this podcast is a fantastic opportunity for me to have a chat with a published author about what inspires them to write, how they go about the writing and publishing process, and what effect it's had on their life. I also ask them what tips they have for other aspiring authors. Today, we are crossing the Atlantic Ocean to meet Terry M. Brown. Terry has been writing since childhood and turned her hobby into a career as a business content writer. However, the stories inside her have always wanted to be told, and she's now just about to publish her first novel, Sunflowers Beneath the Snow, which is set in the Ukraine, about as far from the North Carolina coast as you could possibly imagine. Enjoy the podcast. Terry, thank you so much for being my guest on the podcast today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to finding out all about you. So tell me about your book.
All right. So my book is Sunflowers Beneath the Snow, and it kind of starts with a Ukrainian rebel, totally unhappy with the Soviet situation in the Ukraine. However, he faces discovery very quickly in the book. And so he leaves the Ukraine, but he leaves his wife and daughter behind. And so the story then follows his wife and daughter, and eventually his granddaughter. So three generations of these women trying to make it in Soviet Ukraine, and then dealing with the aftermath when Ukraine finds nationhood again. In general, I kind of try to show like the tenacity of women, and that even in these horrible, grueling circumstances, they still can find like compassion, joy, love, faith, wonder, stuff like that. So
I'm guessing from your accent that you're in America.
I am an American. I live in North Carolina.
Okay, so what inspired you to write something about Russia and the Ukraine?
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. My daughter went to Girl Scout camp as a counselor. And while there, there were international students who came and participated as counselors as well. And one of them was from the Ukraine. Okay. And we got to know her really well. And she came to visit two or three years later and was telling me this story about her grandfather. And it was just very interesting. And so it didn't seem like it could be real. So I asked her to repeat it. She had a very strong accent and she repeated it. And I was still pretty sure that I was wrong. So I repeated it in English again. And she agreed that I had it right. The ending of this book that I wrote is true. Not the epilogue, but the actual ending is true. Mm. And I wrote the rest of the story so that I could get to that ending. And I don't want to tell you that because then it will totally ruin the book for everyone. Oh. But that's what it was, is there's a lot of truth to this story, but then there's a lot of fiction as well.
Okay. But the inspiration for it came from this girl, this exchange student.
Right. And this girl, this exchange student, yes, she's the granddaughter in the story. So, yeah.
And is this the first book you've ever written?
It is the first book now I have a couple other manuscripts that I've written, but they'll never see the light of day. You know how the first ones are always, it was my first attempt. This is the first attempt that actually could go anywhere.
Right. So what got you writing in the first place? I mean, I presume you'd done these other manuscripts before you had the idea for this book.
Right.
So what got you writing in the first place?
I started writing as a little kid. Like, my mom handed me something the other day where I had written a poem on the back of her bank deposit slip, and I was probably 10 and I wanted something to write on, and that's what she pulled out, and I had written this poem. So I've been writing kind of my whole life, but I went through a long period of time, probably about 30 years, where I didn't write much at all. I do write freelance nonfiction for small businesses, help them with their blogs and that kind of thing. But I didn't do any of my own personal fiction writing. And I think I kind of had that feeling that I couldn't be good enough. And I don't know. I think the characters in my head demanded to be heard. And I sat down and did one of those, you know, write write a novel in November thing. And I got that first, so I got that first novel out of my head. Like I said, it's not good, but it kind of like sparked that interest again. And I began writing more and more. And now I've got several books kind of sitting back there in various stages of completion. So,
Wow. That's fantastic. I've been doing nonfiction writing for a long time, for clients originally. And I've written a couple of nonfiction books as well. And I actually did NaNoWriMo for the first time last year, I started it, I think, in 2011, and I wrote about 3,000 words, and then life got in the way. I was going to do it, and I was going to do it, and never did. And I actually did it last year. And that whole thing of just having that month when you just bash out a book is incredible, actually, isn't it? In getting the writing flowing.
It is, and it was an unbelievable accomplishment for me. And at the stage of life that I was in at that point, I was actually still living with an emotionally abusive husband. And I had taken some time to get away, and I started writing. And when I came back, that marriage lasted 2 more weeks. And that's, I had enough oomph to get out of there. I realized that it wasn't good. And that getting away and writing and accomplishing that kind of did that for me. Even though the book, like I said, isn't any good. I mean, I guess it has some bones to it. It'd have to be rewritten completely. But it gave me the confidence to realize I really do have something in me. And why am I dealing with this horrible situation? So I left. And then kind of from that point on now, I've just been writing. So
that's incredible. Yeah, that it does something to you. It's more than just the words on the page, isn't it?
It's
the whole realization that you can do this. And if you can do this, what else can you do?
In fact, what's really neat is I have since remarried, and my husband and I rode across the United States from the coast of Oregon to Washington, D.C. on a tandem bicycle.
What?
During the COVID summer of 2020. And so we rode 3,102 miles and raised $34,000 for Toys for Tots. I don't know. Do you know what Toys for Tots is?
No.
It's an organization that provides toys for children at Christmas time.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. Wow. Yeah. On a tandem. That's insane. You're mad.
On a tandem bicycle. Yes. So I think that I've, between that and now writing a book, and now this one's being published, I kind of believe I can do just about anything I set my mind to. And when people ask me, well, can you do such and so, I'll say, well, yes, I can. Now, do I want to? That's a whole nother.
No, that's the thing, isn't it? Yes, it's that kind of you're in that position now where you know you can do anything, so you can start to be choosy. Kind of thing. You don't have to say yes to everything because you feel you have to. You can start picking and choosing what you want to say yes. So just remind me of the title of this book.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Just remind me of the title of the book.
The title of the book is Sunflowers Beneath the Snow. Okay. And I chose that title because sunflowers are the Ukrainian national flower. And I just thought that it was very symbolic. You know, they're down there beneath the snow, but they're all ready to bloom, just like these three women in my story.
Oh, I like that. That's lovely. That's really lovely. Yeah. So how did you go about writing the book? Because, I mean, obviously you had this story from the Ukrainian student that's kind of formed the basis for it. But I guess there's some imagination involved, there's some research involved. How did you go about sort of plotting it and writing it?
So I kind of, my process is what I call word vomit. So I have a story in my head and I just get it out on paper.
Okay.
I don't worry about research. I don't worry about naming my characters, anything that will stick. I don't worry about anything. I might just call him that man and I'll just keep writing. Or if I can't remember a character's name I used earlier, I'll just put her description in and like highlight it in yellow and just keep writing. And so my process is get it from start to finish and write it. And that usually takes me 1 to 2 weeks, but I just get the story out. At that point, it's horrible. Like, there's no development. It's just the storyline. Then yeah. I go back. And okay. once I go back, then I start filling in details and I do more research and I find out, well, if I'm going to have them in this place at this time, what is it like? And what would I want others to understand about their location or the temperature that it would be in April mm-hmm. in Ukraine or whatever? And so then I start filling in all of that. And that's when I look for the appropriate names for my characters and things like that. The character has been there. I kind of write with the character in mind from the beginning.
Yeah.
But not necessarily their name. Their names usually kind of evolve as I figure out who they are.
Yeah, yeah. How easy or how challenging was it writing about a place that I assume you've not been to?
I've never been. It's very challenging. Yeah. Well, and especially as an American who has done very little international travel. Mm. You know, I know North Carolina and I know the East Coast of the United States. And, you know, like I said, I've been across the United States on a bicycle, but in yeah. terms of European travel, I've done very little. And in terms of like any of the Soviet bloc countries, I've done no travel. Mm. So yeah, it was kind of hard. I actually started with, you know, your traditional like Wikipedia stuff and just kind of got a general feel. And then I started going to sites where you could find people who were just talking about their life.
Okay.
You know, and just reading, what did they have to say and trying to get a feel and looking up photographs and I don't know. Yeah. So mm-hmm. it was interesting. And what's really fun is I have a friend. I did not know that she had a Ukrainian background, and she read the story and was so excited. She said, "You got it right. You got it right. It really is what wow. it's like there." And so it made me really happy. Yeah.
Gosh, that's really impressive. Yeah. That all the research obviously paid off because you've conjured up a place right. that you had no personal experience of at all. And it completely, I mean, you always hear people say, write about what you know. I mean, my NaNoWriMo novel was a woman in her early 50s who moves to Portugal. It's not autobiographical at all, except right. I'm a woman in her 50s and I'm living in Portugal. And a lot of the places were places that I know and that I was familiar right. with. And I know right. the way and the culture and all that kind of thing. It completely bamboozles me, the idea of writing about somewhere so alien to your own life. And to have got that is an achievement, yeah. isn't it?
I think that the characters really wanted to be heard and they weren't going to shut up. So I had to find out, I had to get them there. These characters were going to be in the Ukraine because that's what this story was about. The story makes no sense if they're not there. And so I just started learning about it. Now, I've done a lot of reading earlier. I mean, understanding the Soviet lifestyle wasn't so hard. Mm. And I suspect that, I mean, any book that you've ever picked up that has Soviet from, you know, prior to has all the information there. I mean, you understand yeah. about bread lines and things along mm-hmm. that line, but I was able to put my character in that spot. I had someone tell me the other day, and I thought it was interesting, that what they really liked was that the characters in their mind, when living in the Soviet Ukraine, it would be just horrible. You know, they're from the United States, you know, freedom is everything. The idea is that it would be like living in a prison and there would be no happiness and everything would be black. I mean,
yeah.
and that what I showed them were three women who were actually living. They were going about their days and they were falling in love and they were having children and they were doing life. Yeah. And they said that was really, really interesting to them to kind of get a different feel for, well, what was it like to live yeah. there?
Which when you think about it, wherever you are in the world, however harsh life is from the outside, that's what you're living with, and the majority of people make the best of what they're living with, aren't they? So exactly. if you have to go and queue up for bread for 3 hours every day, that's part of your life. But you're not going to be presumably you won't be standing there in the line looking down at the ground feeling sorry for yourself. You'll be chatting with other people, and you'll be, you're kind of making the most of the situation. So, and yet we don't exactly like that, do we? We kind of think of the hardship and that's it. That, not that there right. can be love and joy and happiness and laughter and sort of everything else going on amongst that.
I think that was one of the reasons why I felt this book needed to be told, was I needed people to understand that even in the worst of circumstances, people, women in this case, they experience everything that life has to offer, so they experience compassion and joy and love and faith and wonder and all of those things, despite the fact that they're living with whatever hardship it is that they have. And in this case, it was, having the Soviet regime keeping the Ukraine from being, a nation. So.
Yeah, that, I guess it says a lot about the human spirit as well, that there's all those resilience and desire and everything, regardless of the conditions thrown at you. So I know the book's coming out in a couple of weeks' time. How have you gone about getting it published?
So I have it published through Atmosphere Press, and now I'm in the middle of trying to do all of the marketing things that authors know nothing about.
Yeah, we'll have to say that we'll just publish our book and then everyone will go and buy it.
I had that lovely idea in my mind that, I wrote a good book. People are going to love it. It's just going to fall into the lap of Oprah and then, become on the bestseller list and, a movie and, all will be good in the world. Yeah. And then you realize that there's well over 3 million books out there currently selling on Amazon. And you'd better do something so someone knows that you're there.
That's the thing, isn't it? There are so many books out there. Yeah, the chances of somebody coming across your book by accident are very, very slim. Yeah. So what are you doing in terms of marketing?
Well, podcasts. I've been trying to get known a little more on Goodreads. I've been asking a lot of people to put reviews out on Amazon and Goodreads. It's just starting to pick up there. I've got a lot of local events happening. I figure I'll get started locally and see if I can't branch out. And I'm just trying to kind of build my platform, because I do have another book that is relatively polished and ready to go. And I'm hoping that once I get this book out and moving, that I can then throw in that second book. So
I was going to say, what's next for you? What's that one? Is that also set in Russia, or is that something?
This one is set in the United States and Germany. Okay. And it is a kind of a World War II in the background. So it's another historic fiction, and it's about a man who is German-American who fights in World War II in Germany. And so it's kind of that angst of, I love the United States, but I also love my heritage. And now I'm here. Yeah. And you see this whole thing from his perspective, his wife's perspective, and then he has a four-year-old son and his four-year-old son's perspective. And it goes all the way through. So
that's again a really interesting viewpoint. It's not something you think about, is it? That you kind of think, there's the Allies and there's the Germany, and you don't think about someone who's actually got links on both sides.
On both sides, right? Right.
Right against their roots, against their heritage. Yeah, that's really
well. And at one point, he really realizes that those people that he's shooting, and who are shooting back at him, that they're more alike than they are different.
Right. Yeah.
And that's kind of the whole point in this story, is that there's a lot more about us that are alike. Mm. And that, we often focus on those differences, and that's what starts things like wars and hatred and all of those kinds of things. But the truth is that we are way more alike. I'm living in North Carolina. You're living in Portugal. We shouldn't have anything in common, but we do. We can sit here now and we can chat and we now like one another. And therefore, if there was a war right now that were pitting the two of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would be hard because I would say, but I know her and I like her, you know. And so that's kind of the. Yeah.
Yeah. And it goes beyond the actual, the sort of things that we might have in common. You know, both, you've got a lovely picture of the coast on your wall. I love the sea. I love the sea. I love the coast. It goes beyond that, doesn't it? It just goes down to those basic human values that everybody shares, wherever they are in the world, whatever their background shares. And, you know, it's this kind of thing of you take the skin off and we're the same, aren't we? You know, underneath it.
Yeah. I think that most people are good.
Yeah.
You know, there are those exceptions to the rule, but
I like to think that.
Yeah. Most people are good and most people want kind of the same things out of life, which is, you know, to be healthy, to be happy, for their families to be healthy and happy, you know,
and be loved.
To be loved. And when you break it all down to that, then you kind of start wondering about some of the yuck that's out in the world. So
there's this sort of subset that doesn't fit in with that. But most people are the same. Yeah. So what advice would you have for anyone else who is thinking of, you know, who's maybe got an idea swirling around in their head and is thinking?
Well, the first thing that I say to everyone is write. Mm-hmm. Just write it down. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. You know, my first 2-3, they're not good, but they got me started and they helped me work out the bugs. So write it down. Don't be afraid. And then the other thing that I would tell someone who now has something, you know, in some stage of being written is start looking at marketing now.
Yeah.
Like, don't wait. I waited. I didn't know. I had no idea. And now all of a sudden my book is coming out and I feel like I'm pulling out all my hair, trying to get all these ducks in a row. Start early. Go ahead and start looking at what does that mean to market your book? Yeah. You know, there's a lot of different paths. You can't do them all. You have to pick the ones that feel good for you and just start checking all of that out. Do it early. Don't wait.
Yeah. I think for a lot of people, I don't know if it's that people feel embarrassed about writing a book or if it's so personal to them, they don't want to share that they're even doing it sometimes, do they? Or the fear of maybe that fear of failing, of not finishing it, and they don't want to let people know. But you need to tell people right from the start, don't you? As soon as you have the idea, even start telling people, getting people interested in what you're doing, and take them on the journey with you, so that when it comes out, they want to read it. You know, that's
exactly.
Don't.
I think there's a lot of writers, and I know that even now, I still kind of feel that way. Like I almost feel like I'm an imposter. Like if people could really, like, get inside my head, they'd say, oh, she's not really an author, you know, because you just feel like, I don't know, you have in your mind this picture of what authors are. And then you look at yourself and you think, well, I'm not really that. I'm not really that. So maybe I'm not really an author. And then that makes you a little bit afraid to share your work or to tell people what you're doing right now. Or because it's like, what if they figure out I'm not real? You know, so I think that's some of it. And then the other part I think is, I know that when I'm writing, I put a lot of myself into these characters, not necessarily anything in particular that I've experienced, but the feelings and the emotions and if someone doesn't like my book, it's almost like they don't like me.
Oh, yes.
You know, and you're a little afraid to hand it to someone, because it's like, if someone doesn't care for some nonfiction piece that I wrote, in my mind, I think, well, you know, they didn't want to learn about real estate, so it's not a big deal, you know. Yeah. But if they don't like Sunflowers Beneath the Snow, well, that's a little more personal. Yeah. You know, now you're telling me you don't like me. Mm-hmm. And that's not what they're saying, but you have that feeling in your head. So I think that might be why some writers are a little reluctant to put it out there, because, you know, no one likes rejection.
No, I can empathize with that completely. My NaNoWriMo novel, I kind of shared little bits of it as I was going along, and I did get really good feedback. The only person who's actually read the finished, I mean, it's not finished, but it needs editing and fleshing out and all sorts, but the only person who's read it is my mum, because I knew that my mum would always say nice things about it, because that's what mums do. And she said she thinks it's really well written, and she thinks it's very cozy, which is fine, which is kind of what I wanted. But she said nothing happens. And I was kind of like, but there's this and there's this and there's this and there's all this stuff that happens. How can you say that? And I thought, gosh, if that's the way I'm reacting to what my mum says, oh my word. Yeah, the idea of letting that out in the world is maybe
I know it is a little scary. In fact, when I handed a copy of my book to someone that I knew for the first time, it was both extremely exciting and horribly frightening, because I thought, what if they hate it? How are they going to look at me and talk to me after this? They're my friend. They're going to feel obligated, you know, and then, but if they hate it, I'm going to see that face, you know, with the kind of wide eyes, and they say something like, oh, it was nice. You know?
Very interesting.
Interesting. I liked the color of the, I mean, I had that horrible feeling, but you just have to kind of push past all of that, because the truth is not every book is for every person.
Yeah.
And you've got that story in you, so you should write it. I mean,
No, that's right. You're never going to please everyone, are you? And the people that get you are going to get you. Reviews on Amazon, it's lovely when you get the 5-star reviews, and then when you get the one that's not, and it's hurts so much.
I haven't gotten that one yet, but I know it's coming.
So the book comes out in a couple of weeks' time.
Yes.
What would you like to happen with it? Or where would you like it to take you?
Right. The fantasy Terry would love for it to, you know, become a bestseller and someone pick up the movie rights and the, you know, I mean, that to me would be, you know, like, who doesn't want that?
Oh, yeah.
In reality, I would love for the book to sell enough copies that people start, like, I have some kind of a platform that, so when my next book comes out, that there are more people who already know that I exist, and that book is an easier, I have a lot of books in my head and I want to keep writing. And so I want to develop a readership. And so that's kind of the biggest, the reality goal is I hope to develop some kind of a readership.
Yeah.
Now, if that turns into a best-selling novel turned into a movie, then, you know, you can say that you've had a podcast with me.
I was there at the beginning. I was there. No, I wish you all the best with it. It's been absolutely fascinating talking to you.
Thank you.
Because, yeah, like I said, so often people say, write what you know. And for you to have written about something so far from your own situation, and to have done it in what sounds like a really convincing way, from the feedback that you've had, it just sounds really incredible. And I shall go and have a look for it and give it a read, and it sounds like a really fascinating book. So Terry, I wish you all the best with Sunflowers Beneath the Snow, and with your future books as well. Where
Wonderful.
Can people
Thank
find you.
You
online if they want to find out more about you?
So they can find me at my website, and it's www.terrymbrown.com, and that's Terry with one R. And the book is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and pretty much anywhere you can find books. So
let's go off and look for Sunflowers Beneath the Snow by Terry.
Absolutely.
Find it. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today, Terry.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
Thank you to Terry for being my guest on the show today. You can find out more about Terry, her book, and her tandem ride across America on her website, www.terrymbrown.com. That's Terry, T-E-R-I. Or find her book Sunflowers Under the Snow at all good bookstores. As usual, the links are all in the show notes. If you're feeling inspired to write, then I would love to help you. My website is www.theprooffairy.com, and you'll find lots of information there about how I work with authors. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, along with details on how you can apply to be a guest on the show if you've already written and published a book. This has been a Proof Fairy production, and I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author. Bye for now.